Today's message is entitled Praedar. We'll get to why it's called that in just a minute. But the first thing we want to do is we want to talk about prayer in light of the parameters of prayer. You know, a lot of people, Christian believers and non-believers, claim to pray, and thinking in their minds and in their hearts that just anytime you talk to God that everything's good, that you and God are buddies and everything's fine. But the Scriptures put some conditions or parameters on prayer. We're going to look at a few of those before we dive into the message entitled Praedar. So if you will, take a look here at the screens. We're going to run through a couple of passages that give us some parameters of what prayer is. First of all, in 1 Peter, it says, "The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayers." So if we want to pray and touch God's heart with our prayer, with what we're feeling and with what we're thinking, we need to pray as a person who is righteous, who is doing the right things. And that's not that you're perfect, because no one could pray. If the bar was set that we had to be absolute perfect, then no one could pray. But the Scripture does say the righteous person, the person who's pursuing after God, the person with God on his mind, his heart, that's the person that God hears when they pray. In Psalms it says, "Hear, O Lord, my righteous plea, listen to my cry." And so here again we have the idea of righteousness being part of it. "My prayer is be set before you like incense. May the lifting up of my hands be like the evening sacrifice." In Psalm it gives us the idea that our prayers are lifted up before God like incense, which resemble the idea that we are living sacrifices, giving and presenting our bodies to God. That's the kind of prayer that God hears and answers. Proverbs 15:8. "The Lord detests the sacrifice of the wicked." So if we're going to sacrifice ourselves, we can't be wicked. We have to turn from our evil ways. And the prayer of the upright, the person who's striving to honor and please God, it pleases Him. The flip side is that the Lord is far from the wicked. When we regard sin in our heart, when we're not working on being what God wants us to be, it's not that you've mastered it, but when we're not working on it, God detests those prayers. We say, "Oh God, this, oh God, that," and God's saying, "Why aren't you working on the thing I want you to work on?" And most of us know exactly what that is. We have to let God work in our lives and let His power run through us. And then in Lamentations, a warning, "You have covered yourself with a cloud so that no prayer can get through." You can look up the references in the context of those, but there is a time when we pray and we ask God for stuff, and yet we harbor sin in our hearts, and God's not going to hear us. So what are the parameters of prayer? First of all, prayers of faith are the key. You have to be a believer if you want to have an active and meaningful prayer life. You have to have Jesus Christ in your heart. Here's what happens. Understand that Christ died, He came back to life just so you could take away your sins. And when you accept and believe that, He comes and lives in your heart, gives you the power to overcome that sin. You can't do it on your own. And that's the first step of being prepared to pray. And then the second one is saying, "Okay, now God, every day I'm going to have to work on my mess ups and put them aside and ask you to forgive me and get a clean hand, get a pure heart, and start working again." And God says, "I will hear that kind of prayer." So there's some parameters. You need to be a believer in Jesus Christ, and if you're not today, I challenge you to accept what He did. You don't have to work for it, but you say, "Jesus, I believe that You died, You came back to life, and I want You in my life, and I accept You as the Lord and boss of my life," and you got a good start. Secondly, for those of us believers, we need to continually make sure that we put things off of our life that leave us in a spot where God can hear, answer, and bless our prayers. So prayer, I contend, is like radar. Prayer is like radar in a couple of ways, not totally, but you all have seen a radar unit, right? Some of you have been captured on radar. Okay, and you know what I'm talking about. The officer of the law has a little device called a radar unit, and some of you, all of us have been captured on it. Some of us have been captured, well, in a different way. So a radar gun is kind of like this. Kind of sends out and sends back. The technology is twofold. First of all, the radar gun sends out a pulse. Radar. It sends out a wave. Can't hear it, but it sends it out, and it has two main purposes. First of all, it is looking for motion. And so it has the sending part of it that sends this radar out. Then when it bounces off the object, it has a receiving part that lets it calculate and understand the data and it will help it determine what's going on out there. For example, when the officer of the law hits the trigger, it sends a radar out to your car. It sees it, number one, it, you're there, and it sees, number two, how fast you're going. And when it bounces back, the receiving unit does some mathematics, and it calculates how fast you're going. And then the officer, on his own, compares that number with the number that's on the sign that you just passed, and he makes some kind of determination about whether or not you're doing the right thing or not. So prayer is like radar in these ways, and we want to use prayer like radar in this way, that we want to send out prayers, and we want to find out where God is moving. We can't minister to everyone at every circumstance, but God is going to be moving sometimes, and we need to have this kind of idea about prayer. At least I'm challenging you with this thought. Obviously, this is not a scriptural idea because radar is not in there. But the principles are there, and I think find them to ring true with the scriptures. So we need to be in prayer in this way. There are two types of prayer. First of all, in Luke 6:12, here's the one type. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray, and he spent the night praying. So over on this side, we have spending the night praying. Spending the night praying. We have spending the night kind of praying, where you pray with a purpose, on a mission, and your job is to pray about something. Problem is, probably very few of us have spent the night praying. I mean, as far as continual, ongoing prayer. The disciples had a little bit of problem with that, if you remember. Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane and said, "Wait here, I'm going to go off and pray." And he came back 1 hour later and he said, "Can you not pray and watch for 1 hour?" The disciples had trouble praying for an hour. Jesus spent the night praying. So there's one kind of prayer that says we have got to just pray deep and pray long and hard, and I'll give you the example in a minute. There's a second kind of prayer that says this. Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. So there's a second kind of prayer that says you got to pray all the time. Let me illustrate maybe the difference in the two kind of prayers, and you can find out where you are in this process. On this side, we have the type of prayer that, let's say that I said, "Oh, I've got a headache. Would you pray for me?" And then there's the kind of prayer that goes something like this. "Oh God, I pray for Greg that you'll give him wisdom as he goes to the medicine cabinet, that as he opens the door and looks amongst the pharmaceuticals in his medicine cabinet, God, you will guide him to the right medicine to take. I pray that if it's not there, that you'll cause him to drive to the nearest Walmart and pick up the appropriate medication that he needs so that you can give him the exact medication that will help his headache. And Lord, as he takes that medication in faith, we pray that as it slides down his esophagus into his stomach, and the acids begin to melt away the covering on that pill, that it will dissolve and move quickly from the lining of the stomach into his bloodstream, God, where you will allow that medication to move to the exact spot of his headache, and that you will take the headache away in your time. Not my will, but thine. Amen." That's one way that you can pray. Now, you could pray all night if you're praying specifics and you pray in details. On the other side is this. "God, help Greg with his headache. So, which prayer is better? It's all good, isn't it? There's a time to pray deep, to pray long, to pray hard. But how do you know when that time is if you're not sending out prayers all the time and trying to find out where God's working and where he wants you to move? There may be times that God wants you to pray like that, and there will be lots of other times that you need to pray like this. The fact is, the point I'm making is this. There are two very different kinds of prayer, and we need to be involved in both of them to be a balanced Christian. We need to have times of prayer. And prayer is a learned activity. The disciples said to Jesus, they said, "Teach us how to pray." And you know why they said that? They had no clue. They watched Jesus pray, and they said, we'll try to do that some, but it's not working like it works with him, and we need to figure this thing out. And Jesus taught them how to pray, and then, you know how they really learn how to pray? Jesus taught them, and then they practiced. They prayed. And I'm betting they didn't pray all night the first time. I'm pretty sure they didn't make it. The first time that Jesus really was at the test, they didn't make an hour. But later on in the New Testament, we see disciples, men of prayer, that are just constantly praying on both ends of the spectrum here. So both types of prayer are needed, and we can't neglect one. Some of you fall way over here when you pray. This is how you pray, and that's okay. But you need to pray like that too. Some of you are more like me. You pray more like this. But there are times you need to go to the closet, and you need to pray long, and you need to pray hard. So those are the parameters of prayer. And the Scriptures teach us we are to be in perpetual prayer. Perpetual prayer, which means we're supposed to pray all the time, pray without ceasing. And I'll run through a couple passages for you. I won't even put them on the screen. Acts 1:14, they were all joined together constantly in prayer. Acts 2:42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the breaking of bread and fellowship, and to prayer. Why did they have deacons in the New Testament? So that the pastors could spend their time studying the Word and in prayer. Jesus told his disciples a parable. We looked at that one. He said we should always pray. In Ephesians it says we're supposed to pray on all occasions. In 1 Thessalonians, night and day we pray is the testimony. 1 Thessalonians 5, be joyful always and pray continually. And in 2 Thessalonians 1:11 it says we constantly pray for you. So this idea of prayer needs to be taken on two different levels, and you need to find out where God is working. If we use the idea of radar, praydar, then we're going to send out a prayer for an individual. And we have our sending unit on where we're asking God, God, I pray that you bless that person. We need to have some particular prayers to pray for them. And then we need to have a response back from God, and He will tell us what we're supposed to do about it. Sometimes all we're supposed to do is pray for people. I'll take all the prayer I can get. You pray for me anytime you want. I'm glad to get it. Okay? I believe God does a work through just prayer. But sometimes you're going to pray for someone and you're going to have to pick up the phone and call them or go minister to them. And that's where the receiving part comes in. We have to hear God's voice as well as just talk to Him. But what do we pray about? Well, let's run through some things that we typically pray about that are very good to pray about. Let's see if I can get this right here. Yeah, in 3 John. We have some ideas. I got a number of them, so if you're writing notes, take them quickly, all right? 3 John 1:2. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. So we can pray for people's health. Certainly, you can do that either way. But notice there's a spiritual side of this also. Even as your soul is getting along well, what's more important? Your physical health is important, but your spiritual health is more important. I'm afraid both kinds of prayer, we spend more time and more energy keeping people out of heaven than getting them in. And we pray for people not to die. We pray for people not to be sick, and that's okay. But examine your prayer life. You spend more time trying to keep people out of heaven, or you spend an equal amount of time, or where's your balance on saying, I'm concerned about the spiritual condition of those around me. When we pray, we got to be careful. We need to have the scriptural balance. Philippians 1:9. This is my prayer, that your love may abound. We can pray these kind of radar kind of prayers that say, I pray that their love will abound. I pray that they'll be more and more loving. I don't care how loving they are. You can pray that prayer for them. It's not offensive. I can pray that they'll have more knowledge and more insight. What's another way we can use this idea of these short prayers? Jeremiah, pray that the Lord your God will tell us where we should go and what we should do. Praying for direction, both for yourself and others. It's biblical. It's okay. God, help that person know what to do in this circumstance. You don't have to spend a lot of time in the prayer closet. You can just shoot these prayers out every day, all the time, if you'll practice them. In Colossians, it says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And here's the prayer. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for the message. We can pray that God will open the door for the messengers. In other words, we can pray for fellow believers in Christ and say, I pray that as they go today, that God will open a door and that they will see it and that they will proclamate the message in the smallest or largest way. It doesn't matter. And the second thing is that they'll present it clearly. Oh, sometimes you just feel so messed up when you start to share Jesus and the words don't come around. But with prayer, you can be undergirded and other people can help you and you'll find that power and strength you need. Something you can pray for your fellow believers. In 2 Thessalonians, pray for us that the message of the Lord may be spread rapidly. When's the last time you prayed something like that? God, I pray that lots of people are going to get saved and lots of people are going to get saved now and fast. It's okay to pray that. It's okay to pray that. As a matter of fact, it's preferred. We're looking at God's will. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith. Pray that for each other. Pray that we'll all be open and active in sharing our faith in what Jesus has done. In Ephesians, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. That prayer can be applied to either. That can be applied to the believers because we all have areas in our life that we are not totally together on. Nor are we enlightened. We don't know everything. Pastor Bill jokes all the time about, he has the perfect doctrine, but, he's just joking and he knows that he's continuing to be formed by God's Word. It continues to shape. Nobody ever gets there. And we can pray for believers that their eyes and their heart will be open to what God is saying and doing, and it will continue to be shaped. But we can pray this for non-believers. We can pray and say, God, let their heart's eyes be open to you so they can see you and come to know you. In Ephesians, I pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you. We can pray that other people will have strength. You probably didn't know it, but sometimes people go through hard times. And sometimes people don't have the strength to carry on. And actually, with the power of God in us, we always have that strength, but it seems like we don't have it. And we can pray that they will find the strength in difficult times. That prayer can go deep, that prayer can go light, but we can pray these prayers for our friends and for the lost. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but you protect them from the evil one. Sometimes we pray for things that we'd like to have happen for comfort and safety. But sometimes God wants neither for us. Sometimes He doesn't want us to be safe. Sometimes He sends us into scary and difficult places. And we just need to pray to be protected from the evil one, and not necessarily from hard or uncomfortable circumstances. 1 Corinthians, another idea. We're glad when we are weak, but we're strong. And our prayer is for your perfection. That you will continue to grow, that you won't be satisfied with just kind of pretty good. You won't be satisfied with, I'm kind of doing all right on that. You're going to be praying for perfection, that we will continue to be more and more and more like Christ as we walk with Him every day. 2 Corinthians 13:7. We pray to God that you will not do anything wrong. I prayed this for my children. I prayed this from other people that I know were in temptation. They were going into a place of temptation, even to do ministry. We can pray that they'll be strong and they will not choose the wrong thing. Lots of good things that we can pray for, but we need to have a balance of prayer. Your style of prayer, it doesn't matter which one you lean toward. You need to have the other side. You need to have a prayer life that goes deep. You need to have a prayer life that goes long. But you need to be in the process of praying continually. And this does a number of things. One of them is this. It helps other people out. We don't know how prayer works. No one can sit there and tell you exactly how it works. But we know that when you pray, God says to do it, says it honors Him, and it helps people out. You've been prayed for probably, and you probably felt it, and it's weird, and you can't understand it, and you can't explain it. But it works. There's one good reason. The second good reason, if you will learn to pray both ways, you'll be protected from the evil one because God will continually be on your mind, in your heart, and He will be where He wants to be, and that's at the center, the very most important place of your life. So if we can learn to pray spiritual prayers for other people on an ongoing basis, and then when we shoot the prayer out and God says, oh, that person, and He gives you a burden, then go to the prayer closet. and spend a long time in prayer. And for some of you, a long time in prayer is 3 minutes. Go for 3 minutes. Go as long and as hard as you can, and you're learning how to pray. And some of you at 7, and some of you are real prayer warriors, and you can pray a half an hour, an hour. Some of you guys can pray all night, probably just a couple of you. And God may never call you to be that all-night prayer warrior, but He is calling you to go deep. But you won't go deep if you don't see the need. And so if we begin to bathe our lives in prayer and let Christ become a center point of how we think, so that everything we think is about communicating with God, we will be more like Him and more honoring to Him. There was a man walking on a beach with his good friend, and the beach was covered with live starfish. The tide had rolled a whole bunch of them in. They were just everywhere. And they were out for a nice leisurely walk. And every once in a while, the one man would bend down and pick up a starfish, and he would just spin it and throw it back into the ocean. It was kind of cool. And they walked along for about a half an hour or so, and he kept doing that just off and on. And finally his buddy said, "What's this with the starfish? You keep picking them up and throwing them back in the ocean." He said, "What are you doing that for?" I said, "Well, I just figure I'm going to help rescue the starfish." And his buddy kind of laughed, and he said, "That doesn't make any difference. Look how many starfish there are. They're everywhere." He bent down again, and he said, "It makes a difference to him." And he threw them back in. You can't pray for everybody. You can't be everything to all people, but God is calling us to be something to someone. If we don't pray continually, make that a part of our lives, the radar doesn't go out, we never get to hit back, and we miss opportunities to minister people in tangible and meaningful ways. How's your prayer life this morning? How's your walk with God? Let's pray together.